Good morning. I'm going to be reading from John chapter 10, verses 1 through 18. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them. And his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize the stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and it scatters. The man runs away because he has hired a hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." Let's open in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you. We ask your blessing upon this time, upon this meditation and study of your word. We pray that you would speak at this time and that you would set me aside. I pray that through this you would be glorified. Pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus, and through the power of your Spirit. Amen. So here we are in Libertyville. There may be fields around, but it's a far cry from what we would call a rural community. It may have been 60 years ago, but today it's definitely not. And while I currently live in Vernon Hills, I grew up on a farm in Iowa. It was a dairy farm, to be specific. Now, we got out of the dairy business the summer after my freshman year of high school, which is getting further and further away, I notice, each year. But there are things about those days that I will always remember. Among them was the affection that my father felt for his animals. This is not to say that he never became frustrated with them, but he considered each of them as important. And why not? They were, in fact, his livelihood. It's only natural that you'd want to protect them. But they were more than simply a job to him. I remember a few of the cows wore tags around their necks with numbers, but we didn't put these numbers on. These were identification numbers from the people that we had bought them from. Instead, my father had taken the time to name each cow. They were more than simply numbers. They were individuals with their own personalities. And while to most of us, cows all look the same, my father knew each of them by name. What's more, the cows knew him. They knew when he called them. They knew they were cared for, and they knew they were very safe. In our passage today, Jesus uses the image not of cattle, but of sheep to make his point. Now, using sheep was a natural illustration for Jesus because in the same way that I'm familiar with the dairy farm, the people of Jesus' time, and very much still today in the Middle East, were very familiar with the image of sheep and shepherds. What's more, Jesus is drawing on a religious image clearly established long before in the Old Testament. How many of us are familiar with Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But we find it also in the prophets. The prophet Ezekiel in chapter 34 says, "For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them as a shepherd looks after his scattered flock. When he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness." We can see very clearly that the idea of shepherding was not simply familiar as a part of their farming society, but it was ingrained as a religious image to all the Jewish people of Jesus' day. And so Jesus draws on this image. And he starts by comparing the role of a shepherd to that of others who enter the sheep pen. Starting with verse 1 and continuing to verse 6, we read, "Very truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him. The sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of them, his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize the stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. So here Jesus compares a shepherd to a thief or a stranger. He says that the thief will slip in from the side or the back of the sheep pen. Now, just for a little bit of information, sheep pens, as they're referring to them, was an area where the sheep were kept when they weren't in the pasture. It could be anything from a permanent barn type structure to simply an outdoor pen with a stone wall, or it may have been something temporarily put up just using briars and pointed sticks just to create a pen area where they could keep the sheep safe and protected. But in any of these cases, all there was one single narrow opening to enter and exit the pen. And the entrance is then guarded by a gatekeeper. Jesus tells us that while thieves will slip in through other ways, the real shepherd enters through the gate. He doesn't try to sneak in. He comes straight forward and presents himself. But more than that, the sheep are drawn to him. You see, in a lot of these areas, there were various families with sheep, and they would keep them all together in the one pen. But when the shepherd would go and call, his sheep knew him and they would go with him, not the other sheep. So we see that his sheep were drawn to him. In contrast to this, it tells us that if a stranger comes in, the sheep are going to run away because they don't know the voice. It scares them. Now Jesus gets done with this comparison, and he looks around at the Pharisees to whom he's talking, and apparently sees several dumbfounded looks on their faces. and he realizes that the people don't seem to understand what he's saying. So he clarifies, and starting in verse 7 and going through verse 10, he says, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Now to a lot of us, this seems like a very strange transition. He's talking about comparing shepherds to thieves and strangers, and suddenly Jesus is saying, "I'm the gate." What's he talking about? Why? What does he mean, "I am the gate"? Well, going back to the description we had of way these sheep pens looked, and there was the one entrance where the gatekeeper stood. Well, a lot of these pens did not have gates on them. And so when the sheep were in there at night, the gatekeeper would sleep right there in that entrance. He physically served as the gate for that entrance to prevent the sheep from leaving and to prevent dangers from getting in. He is the gatekeeper. Jesus is the gate. And while the thieves come to kill and destroy, Jesus is the only safe way in and out of the sheep pen. In fact, he tells us that he came so that the sheep can live life to the fullest. But I'll come back to that point in a little bit. Instead, I want to move on to where Jesus now brings us back to the discussion of the shepherd. But he takes it to the ultimate level. Starting in verse 11 and going through verse 13, we read, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks and the flock is scattered. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep." Jesus transitions from simply talking about shepherds to saying something extremely profound. He says, "I am the good shepherd." And there are two parts to this very statement. The first is to point out that he's more than simply a hired hand. In verses 12 and 13, he says that while there are those who may go through the actions of shepherds, they watch the sheep, they take them out to the pasture in the morning, they bring them safely back into the pen at night, but they have no vested interest in the sheep. They're simply hired. They don't care. They're only in it for a paycheck. And as a result, when the real danger arises, the hired hand says, "I'm out of here. I don't get paid enough for this. I'm gone." But Jesus says, "I lay down my life for the sheep." Why would he do this? Why does he have such a commitment? Well, let's look at verses 14 through 18. "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." Here we find the second part of this profound point where Jesus says, I am the Good Shepherd. By calling himself the Good Shepherd, Jesus is making a very clear point that every good member of Israel would have recognized, especially to his particular audience at this time, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law. Jesus is saying that he is God. If we go back to Psalm 23, we again read, the Lord is my shepherd. Every good Israelite knew Psalm 23. And there was no question in their mind that it was talking about God. Jesus was saying he was God. A point he flat out says later in this same discussion, as recorded in John chapter 10, verse 30. I and the Father are one. Now, what does this have to do with me and my situation? Let's first go back to verse 10, the statement that I said I would address later. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. What's this mean? What does it mean to have life to the full? Does it mean that with Jesus, life is perfect? Nothing bad will happen, and I will live happily ever after? No, of course not. That's not what it means. But rather, it's a promise of purpose and meaning in life. A meaning that too many of us try to find in things like food, drugs, relationships. We try to live our lives to their fullest on our own, and these are the things we put in. Jesus says, I came to give life a meaning beyond what is known. I came to make life all it can be. I came that they may have life and have it to the full. What is more, Jesus did not simply come for those in Israel. Yes, he was the promised Messiah. But he came for people everywhere. Jesus said, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. From this passage, we see three very clear things. First and foremost, Jesus is the Good Shepherd who is willing to lay down his life for his sheep. Jesus is God who came for each and every one of us that we might know him. Second, Jesus is the gate through which his sheep may pass into safety and into green pastures. There's no other way but through Jesus. And finally, Jesus came to call sheep from all over to become one flock, and that he is the one shepherd. What is our reaction to this? Well, if we read on in this passage, we see that the Bible tells us that the Pharisees picked up stones to stone Jesus when he made these statements. This was blasphemy. They didn't want to hear it. And they couldn't accept it. But how will you respond? My friends, I don't know your situation. I don't know what you're going through. But Jesus does. Jesus does, and he cares. Listen. Do you hear the shepherd's voice? Do you desire to walk through the gate into green pastures? Do you desire to walk through the gate into safety and security? If God has spoken to you and you want to learn more, I encourage you, speak with one of the chaplains at the hospital or contact a local pastor when you get out. I know any of the pastors at the Evangelical Free Church of Libertyville would love to have an opportunity to speak with you. Jesus is the good shepherd, and he has laid down his life for his sheep. The question is, do we respond to the shepherd's voice? Do we respond to his call? Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that your Son came, that Jesus came for us, that he was willing to lay down his life and die for us, that we might know you, that we might live life to the fullest that you intended, that we might walk in green pastures, that we might be safe and secure in you. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to work in each of us and remind us of this each day, that we would not forget. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus, and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.